We are talking this morning about the persecuted church around the world. Some of you know that once a year, Christians are called on especially to pray for the persecuted church and know what's going on. And next Sunday is the Sunday that's been designated by Voice of the Martyrs and some other Christian organizations who bring attention to the plight of our brothers and sisters around the world. The next Sunday, in a lot of places, Christians will be praying for especially persecuted Christians around the world. And I wanted to do that this Sunday. I want to invite you to read and hear some of the words of Jesus about persecution. And we're going to watch a video in a few minutes about one situation of persecution. All you have to do to know what's going on around the church, around the world in the Christian church, and the persecution is to get on the internet. We live in the day of information. You can put on Christian persecution and put in the name of a country, and you'll probably find stories and articles and things about what's going on in persecution around the world. I don't think I've ever known a period in my life, that maybe just because I'm more conscious of it than I was before, and maybe because information is so much freer today, but I've never been more aware than I have in the last few years of the amount of persecution that goes on in the Christian church around the world. I don't know if it's getting worse. It seems like it in some ways. Certainly we know more about it and hear more about it. But there's an emergence of a persecution, especially from the Islamic community, the radicals against Christianity, that's inflamed in the last couple of years. And we, of course, have been reading articles and seeing the news every day about things that are going on, atrocities committed against people from all across the board, all kinds of different faiths, and including and especially those in the Christian faith. In some ways, Christianity is more under attack today than it's ever been in the history of the church, although Christianity has always been under attack, and Jesus talked about that. And we're going to look at some of the scriptures that Jesus talked about in relationship to persecution. For us today, we're going to hear the words of Jesus, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church. At the end of the service, we're going to gather in a circle, and everybody's going to get a card with the name of a country on it where there is persecution going on around the world, and I'm going to invite you to take that card home and pray for that country. If you have access to internet and you're able to do that and want to read about it, you'll have an opportunity to study about a country and pray for the Christians, pray for persecution in those countries and in those churches, among those believers. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 says this: remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. We're told in the Bible that we're to remember certain things. We're to remember the Lord our God. We're to remember His faithfulness. We're to remember certain things throughout the Bible that we're told especially to remember. Remember the commandments of the Lord. One of the things that we're told to remember is to remember our fellow prisoners. In other words, in the book of Hebrews, the writer was talking about those that were being persecuted, those who were being driven away because of their faith, some of them who gave their lives because of their faith. Hebrews chapter 13, I think the key in that verse is the word to remember. And so today I want for us to focus and to remember those that are fellow prisoners, those that are in prison because of their faith and being abused, those that are suffering. Of course, there's a lot of suffering going on around our world and a lot of suffering from different contexts. But in the context of religious persecution, there's so many people, hundreds of thousands of people today that are not able to sit in a church like this. They're fear for their lives and unable to meet and are facing persecution. Men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, young and old, from all walks of life, all around the world, who are probably at this very moment, whatever time zone they're in, they're suffering because of their faith. And so Jesus says, remember. The scriptures say, remember them. Jesus said many things to His disciples about persecution. When you read about what Jesus said about persecution, we find that it wasn't something that surprised Jesus a bit. In fact, He warned His disciples about it, and He talked about it several times. He knew that persecution would be a part of the spread of the church. He knew that in every generation, in every nation, in every culture would be persecution against the truth of the gospel, the claims of Christ, and the power of of God to redeem and the power of the cross. Jesus knew that, and he talked about that, and he warned his disciples about it. I want to invite you to hear some of the words of Jesus about persecution. First in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the attitudes that Jesus wants us to have. And within those Beatitudes, at the end, the last three verses of the Beatitudes, Jesus talks about persecution. He says in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." These are called the Beatitudes. Jesus wants us to have a certain perspective about life, a certain perspective in this case about the opposition to Christ and to the gospel and to Christianity. Jesus tells us that there's a certain way to look at persecution. And I have to tell you, I don't quite understand it. I have to tell you that this is one of the hard sayings of Jesus. I have a book in my office on one of my shelves, and it says, "The Hard Sayings of Jesus." And in that book is a list of things that Jesus said that we wrestle with, and we're not sure we always understand. I want you to know what Jesus said about persecution is among that list, at least in my heart and my mind. But Jesus tells us that there is going to be persecution. It's not something that God takes away in this life, but persecution will be a part of the kingdom of God. Persecution is out there and will be out there. He closes this list of attitudes with these words about persecution. Persecution is a reality, Jesus says, for those who follow Him. There's been a straight line of persecution from the earliest days of the words of Jesus up until and including this moment and this hour. Through every generation, every century, there's been a thread, there's been a line of persecution. If you enjoy history, if you enjoy church history, you can read books that chronicle the history of persecution through every century of the church. You could just pick out one century. Wouldn't matter which one. You could pick out the 12th century, and you could read about the persecution taking place in certain places around the world from generation to generation and century to century. It might move from this area to that area. It's more intense here. It's less intense here. But the truth is, there's been a thread of persecution that has run throughout the history of the Christian church. Persecution has always been a part of spiritual warfare, a part of the forces, the fight between good and evil, between God and Satan, that goes on within the human heart. You might say, you might describe it, a place where truth and deception meet in the destructiveness of the hatred of man's heart. Hatred takes many forms, and against many different kinds of people. There's all kinds of persecution that takes place, political persecution, and certainly in our subject today, persecution against Christian people. But I will say, too, there's persecution of people of all kinds of faith, against Jews, against Muslims, against Hindi, all world religions. People who do not honor God have in their hearts such a hatred to those that believe others that they can do unspeakable crimes and atrocities. When I read about the atrocities that have taken place even in my lifetime, I go back to graduating from high school in the 1970s and reading about what's gone on in Cambodia and later in Rwanda and Bosnia and China and North Korea and recently in Egypt and today in Syria and things that we're reading in the news. We know that the list is long, and behind the list of all these names and countries are people, faces, moms and dads who have to make the decision, am I going to live for Christ? Am I going to stand up for Christ? Am I going to tell my neighbor who Jesus is? Or am I going to keep it to myself? And so many people that suffer today do so because they're willing to stand up for Jesus. The hatred and the violence against humanity is so great. And Jesus said that persecution against the church will be intense. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 16. "All this I have told you," the scripture says, "all this I have told you so you do not go astray." They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. Stop there for a minute. Listen to those words. It sounds like today, anyone who kills you thinks he is offering a service to God. That was the first century. That was Jesus talking about the Jewish people, who are the Jewish leaders, who would try to kill the Christians. They're going to put you out of the synagogue, and if they can put you to death, they will say they're doing it because of God. And what do we have today? We have people in the name of religion who say God told us it's okay to destroy and kill these people. The same evilness that existed in opposition to Christ in the first century is a part of the 21st century. All of this, Jesus goes on to say, I have told you that you do not go astray. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that you will remember that I warned you. Jesus said some things about warning that are pretty sobering to me. I said the hard sayings of Jesus, but Jesus also gave some warnings to the church, to the body of Christ, that are pretty sobering. You know, we live in such a protected and sheltered place. I'm standing up here this morning. I have all this wonderful gifts of food that you've given to me. I can proclaim the gospel, and as far as I know, it's very safe to do that right now, although things are changing, and they could change very quickly and are changing in our country. But I think of pastors who are around the world this morning, and for them to stand up and preach the gospel or tell people about Jesus, they take on the risk that somebody will turn them in. Somebody will come and arrest them and beat them and put them in prison and take their possessions and sometimes take their families from them. And I realize that there are people all around the world this morning, Christians in these countries, some of which we're going to name in a little bit, that even to this very moment and to this day could be arrested. And Jesus said that's the way it will be in the body of Christ. That's the way it will be. All throughout the church history, Christians have been attacked and imprisoned and brutalized and many put to death because of their faith in Jesus. We go back in early church history to the very early days of the church, and a man named Stephen, a young man who spoke for the Lord and proclaimed the gospel and recorded in the book of Acts is the story of Stephen and how the Jewish leaders rose up against him and falsely accused him and took him out of the city and they stoned him to death. And Stephen became the first Christian martyr. And then throughout the first century, we know bits and pieces about the persecution. Stephen's persecution was from the Jews, but then there was the Roman persecution and the stories of the gladiators and the Romans who hung hundreds and hundreds of people who proclaimed to be Christians and all kinds of atrocities about the Colosseum and about ways that they tortured Christians in the first century, the first couple centuries of the Roman during the early periods of the church. And all throughout history, again, you can pick every century and you can see where Christians have been persecuted. Then you come later on to the Middle Ages, and during the time of the Reformation, there was great persecution against those who wanted to get the Scriptures into the hands of the people, and many other places. I'm just mentioning a couple summary things today, but to say that throughout church history, there have always been times of persecution. The Reformation and all kinds of evil and torture and in the name of people who believe in a God so far away from the heart of God. And then I think of our time period. I think of today. I mean, just right here in the last 2 years and what we have around us. Sometimes we think of the 21st century, and I think it's got to be more brutal than any century in time. I don't know if that's true, but in the news recently, the brutality. And we had a missionary here about 4 years ago from Somalia who told the story of his life and how there were 14 of them in Somalia and in their little house church. And they came in and 12 of them they killed, and two were able to escape. And today, Ali is ministering for the Lord as a Nazarene missionary. And I know for all those stories, which seem so far away from me, but all those stories are real people who are making the decision to live for Christ in times that are so unbelievable for us and difficult. And every day they face fear and discrimination and sometimes worse. For them, the cost of following Jesus is very high. The cost of following Jesus is very high. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus when he said, take up your cross and follow me. Count the cost of following me and how the cost of following Jesus is so high for so many people. Those that are humiliated, those that are separated from their families, those that live in poverty because of the abuse and the beatings and the imprisonment and the refugees. The stories are endless. If you just get on the internet, you can read far more than you would want to about what's going on around our world. But today, I just want to remind you of the kind of world that we live in and what can we do about it, that God calls us to pray for the church. John chapter 15, verse 20 says, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." There's persecution, so much going on in our church. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 is another one of those verses that to me, it just kind of makes me step back and think, God, what are you saying about my life and where I'm at? It's one of those verses that are saying, God says to me, all right, God, what does this mean about me in Mifflinburg? Listen to these words. Paul, the apostle, wrote, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men or imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." We do live in a day of deception. We do live in a day when we have to make the choices and decisions about living our faith out in ways that are meaningful and real. As far as I know, nobody here this morning, but I could be wrong about that, has faced a time in your life when somebody said, if you believe in Jesus, then you'll be beaten or your life will be taken. But someday it can come to that. I don't know when. But I certainly feel more and more that our country is changing so much, and don't really have time to go into some of those things, but they've been mentioned and you've been talking and thinking about them. But things are changing in our country. I don't know how long our countries will preserve the freedoms that we have. I don't know if the Lord's going to come back before they're taken away. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that things can change quickly. Persecution can change quickly, and each one of us should confront the words of Jesus about persecution today and hear his heart and hear what he says. Things can change so much. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, Paul wrote, everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. And what does that mean for the church? What does that mean for this church? What does that mean for our proclamation of right and wrong and standing up for right and wrong? Persecution was very intense when Paul wrote this, and persecution for people in our world today is the same thing. It's estimated, and I don't know how they determine these numbers, but it's estimated, one estimate said 105,000 people were killed last year who were Christians around the world because of their faith. That, of course, includes people caught up as refugees and in the war in Syria and Turkey and these places with mass genocide and destruction. But where that number comes from, 105,000 Christians who were killed last year because of their faith in Jesus. No wonder Jesus told us to remember them. The scriptures tell us to remember them and pray for them. We're going to watch a 5-minute video of a specific story in Syria, of a family. It's produced by Voice of the Martyrs, which is one of the Christian organizations that calls us to pray. And we're going to watch that video this morning, and then in a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to pray. I'm going to give you a specific country and invite you to pray for the church. Would you watch this with me?
We were praying for revival, believing God would do a big work in Syria. Then the war came. Now the terrorists are attacking Christian homes, churches, and even our children. Their goal is to empty Syria of its Christians. We hate the spirit of Islam that is destroying our country. But we love our Muslim neighbors. They come to us and say, "In the name of our God, terrorists rape and kill. Where is God?" We tell them about Jesus, and many are coming to know him. Still others say we are like living in hell. One day, while I was praying, I asked God what he would have me do to be his witness. But he only asked me, "Will you give me your life?" As I prayed, I understood he wanted all of me. And I said yes. If the time came, I was willing to die for Jesus. The next day, while I was praying, I asked God again what he would have me do. This time, he asked me, "Are you willing to give me your husband's life?" It is not easy to be ready to die. My husband and I prayed about this together. We said yes to God. The third day was the most difficult. On this day, God asked me if I was willing to give up my children's lives. The terrorists know who we are and that we share Jesus with Muslims. It is not safe for our family. My husband and I prayed and fasted, and together we agreed. God gave us our precious children. He has the freedom to take them back. When we agreed to put our children on the altar, I knew I had to tell them the truth. I told them that it was possible that men with swords may come through our door, men who didn't know Jesus. They may say bad things to us and try to force us to convert to Islam. But no matter what they say, we should not answer them. We should only tell them that Jesus loves them and that we forgive them. I told them that we might see some blood and have some pain, but it would only be for a little while. That we should just close our eyes. And when we open them, we will be with Jesus. Am I a good mother? Do you have to tell my children such things? I also told them that as long as God wants us to be safe, we will be safe, that He is in control. Even during the bloodshed, during the killing, He is carrying our future. This is what it means to be a Christian in Syria.
Sure, there are many stories around the world that almost seem like, should we even say them and talk about them? But I want you to know there's a reality that God wants us to know about and to pray for and to lift up our brothers and sisters around the world, things that probably seem so unspeakable to us. When I was in India a couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to meet a lot of Indian pastors. Part of the trip was Vinay would take me out to the villages and had meetings with people, and I really cherished that opportunity. And I had an opportunity to meet a lot of pastors who love the Lord so much, and some of them have been through some persecution, some beatings, some experiences that I've never experienced. And I know I ask a lot of them as part of meeting with them, how can we pray for you? And it was amazing to me the answer that they gave. It wasn't about broken bones. It wasn't about losing things. It was usually the answer that they would say is, please pray for boldness that I can preach the gospel. Please pray for boldness that I can preach the gospel. There's a heart that Jesus wants us to have in persecution that reminds us of the deepest things of the heart of God, that people would come to faith in Christ. How can we pray for the church? Pray for boldness. Pray for those that are suffering. Pray in our world that justice will take place and God will change the things that need to be changed. Pray for those who come to faith in Christ in countries where they'll be persecuted. There are a lot of places around the world that for somebody to make a profession of faith means they're separated from their families and ostracized and driven out. And in some of the countries that we can pray for, that happens all the time. And finally, pray reminded that Jesus wants us to be faithful. Jesus said the words, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. We also have an opportunity to witness in our lives and our world around us and stand up for Jesus. Who knows what's going to change in our world in the next 10, 15, 20 years, but we have an opportunity to stand up for Christ.